are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back and FanRag Sports. And I write for the Miami Heat's Tip Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Romillo, credentialed NBA writer. It's covered the Heat for SB Nation and AllYouCanHeat.com. I cover the NBA large for FanSided and FanRag Sports. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRomillo13.
So the All-Star Game starters have been announced, and David and I will be selecting our reserves for both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. But first, let's start with some mailbag questions, because we haven't done a mailbag all week, David. We got to open that thing up.
Yes.
It's a little dusty. It's a little dusty. So we're unzipping the mailbag.
Overflowing.
All right, let's get right into it. Taylor asks, what would a Kemba Walker trade to Miami look like? This, of course, on the heels of Adrian Wojnarowski's story that the Hornets have now put Kemba Walker on the market. Now, before they even put Walker on the market, they were trying to unload certain contracts such as Dwight Howard, Nick Batum, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Marvin Williams, Cody Zeller, these big contracts that this team recently signed. The Hornets, basically, the last couple of summers have done very similar to what Miami did this last summer, which is bet on themselves and kind of bet on internal development and growth from their own players. And that hasn't happened to the point where they need it to be. It looks like barring some historic turnaround, that would be even what Miami did last season in the second half of last season. The Hornets are going to miss the playoffs for the third time in 4 years. This is not, and it looks like they're about to blow this thing up. And by doing that, they're putting Kemba Walker on the trade market. So we've got to talk about fake trades. I mean,
yeah.
It's only natural.
Supposedly, it's also been reported, though, just so we know and our listeners know, head coach Steve Clifford has refuted that those are just rumors. I'm sure he's probably trying to piece together what's left of this team as far as their collective psyche is concerned. He doesn't want them heading into a game tonight knowing that their star player could potentially get traded. I'm sure they're all fully aware of how much they've struggled this season. Clifford himself has missed a bunch of games due to a health issue, and he's finally back on the sideline for the first time in weeks. But, it's a difficult thing for the Hornets. And obviously, look, they're trying to move on. You know, they've missed out on a couple of draft picks. Like you mentioned, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist hasn't evolved the way that they thought he might. And so they've taken a step back, and they've also experienced a number of injuries to some key players. So,
They've clearly taken it as far as it can go, though. I mean, Frank Kaminsky also hasn't developed the way they want. Malik Monk can't get off the bench. That's not a good sign. They made some mistakes in this, and then they're gonna have to rebuild, and possibly the only way they could do it is by trading Kemba Walker and unloading themselves of a couple of bad contracts, if at all possible, because those contracts by themselves aren't worth anything. Nobody's gonna take them off their hands. They have their own draft pick, but they haven't done a good job with it, and they have no cap space, so they can't improve via free agency. So maybe trading Walker might be the only option. And if they do, there's a number of teams that could use Kemba Walker. Going back to Taylor's question, what would a trade of Walker to Miami look like? I don't know if we should necessarily go into whether or not they should or should not. Maybe we should just answer the question and see what it would look like and then sort of see if we would do the trade at the end there. So I know you have a trade idea.
We do. I do.
Yeah. Let's go with yours first.
All right. I think as Wojnarowski reported, they're looking to unload some of their other larger contracts in addition to Kemba, who's making a pretty small figure of $12 million. He's got this year left and next year in addition to that. So he's not making a lot of money. So to me, I think it would be great for them to package a guy like Nick Batum, who has struggled a little bit. He's a wing player who can obviously pay a two or three, but he's been injured on and off over the last couple of seasons and just really hasn't been able to bounce back and show some of that promise that he did when they acquired him from Portland. So for me, in order to make that package work, I included Goran Dragic. Obviously, he'd have to be moved. Deion Waiters, who's going to be out for the rest of the year, but it wouldn't matter to Charlotte because they're probably going to be in full rebuilding mode. And I can imagine a guy like Michael Jordan signing off on the dog in Waiters. You know what I'm saying? To me, I think it would be a big thing for him to see a guy like that and be able to mentor him. Maybe he'd like it. A guy who's as cocky as Deion might be able to actually say, you know what, I could hold my own against Mike or something like that. AJ Hammonds would be included in there for cap filler, basically. But the return of Justice Winslow to North Carolina after a star career at Duke is the final capper there for me. I think that's the total package. Dragic, Waiters, Winslow, and Hammonds for Nick Batum and Kemba Walker.
Yeah, and look, it's going to come down to, you mentioned a couple things. Dragic will most likely have to get moved in any sort of deal like that. It would only, that's really kind of the only thing that would make sense for the Heat to do. If they were to do something for Walker. Walker, I think, is an upgrade over Goran Dragic. Like,
yes,
there is an upgrade there, and he's younger, and there's more there in the future to kind of build around. But having to take a Nick Batum contract, who is a you and I are both fans, I think, of Batum's game, but at $22 million, that's pretty hefty. They'd have to include possibly like a contract like Batum or Dwight Howard, or for this sort of deal to get pulled off money-wise, two of either Marvin Williams, MKG, Cody Zeller. Like two of those three contracts, basically. Or Batum or Howard, plus Walker. And so I have a similar trade. I've got Walker plus MKG plus Marvin Williams for Dragic. And instead of Waiters, because I wasn't – you make a good point on Waiter. Maybe MJ would want somebody like Deion. But instead of that, I have Wayne Ellington plus O'Kara White plus Hammonds to sort of make up for that salary. And then I have Winslow and Bam Adebayo in there. And you know what? The more I think about it, it probably wouldn't even take both of those young guys to get that sort of deal done. But especially if they're taking multiple contracts back, bad contracts back in return. But that would ultimately save Charlotte $14 million in cap space this summer as well. And so maybe they can sort of start rebuilding a little bit via free agency. But all in all, look, I mean, that's what it's going to take, right? I mean, Woj is reporting that the Hornets are going to want a young player and or a first-round draft pick in return. The Heat don't have any first-round picks, obviously, to give back, so it would take somebody like Bam or Winslow included to get that sort of deal done. And you and I, I don't think it's worth it for the Heat to kind of make that sort of move, especially given that the Heat don't have any draft picks to sort of reload their arsenal of young talent and young players. So to me, even though Walker is an upgrade over Dragic, it's not worth, you know, jettisoning a Winslow or a Bam in order to make that upgrade. It's not enough of an upgrade to make that worth it to me.
No, I agree, especially because of their lack of draft picks. Like, they're fully invested in the young players they have. If they're going to be moving either one of those, and at this point, I don't see why you'd move Adebayo at all, because you don't even know what his ceiling could possibly be. You better get a draft pick in return, and I don't think they're going to get one from Charlotte. They don't have many draft picks to give out either. So, and I don't think that they'd want to give up one if they're in full rebuilding mode. So just so you know, something worth pointing out to our listeners, and ever since the news broke from Wojnarowski, and anytime a Woj bomb drops, everybody gets into immediate reaction mode. The trade machines are fired up simultaneously in thousands of computers all over the place. You know, everybody wants to package filler for a star player. Like, I've seen tweets from Denver fans saying, oh, Moutier and a second round pick and maybe, you know, Kevin Fareed straight up for you know, Kemba Walker. That's not going to work. You know, Moutier, as nice as a draft pick as he might have been at some point, obviously the bloom is off the rose. Fareed is an overpriced player that doesn't do much. I can't see any world where they'd make a deal like that. Right. But I think we're seeing a lot of that across the league from 29 other fan bases saying, oh, I can package my garbage player or like an overexpensive contract like Joakim Noah for Kemba Walker. They're not going to take that. So we have to warn our listeners about that just so they know. It's not like we can just package, I don't know, our worst contracts together in exchange for a superstar player. That's not going to happen. Yeah,
they're not doing Deion for Kemba straight up. Like, it's right. It's going to take some work. And again, the Heat, you know, Goran Dragic is on the other side of 30, and so I could see there being a let's say example, like Charlotte is like, look, we need to sell on Kemba and we got to get rid of a bad contract. If they'd be willing to take Dragic and Ellington for Walker and one of their bad contracts, maybe then the Heat would think about it. And I'm not even sure that would work, you know, but like the only reason the Hornets would do it is to get off a bad contract and get a quality point guard back in return. And that's the only way I could see it happening, is almost like a Kyrie for Isaiah type situation where the Heat are, yes, we've got this chemistry, we've got our leader in Goran, but in, you know, looking, we might even be worse off losing Goran and exchanging him for Walker and trying to make that adjustment in the middle of the season right now. But looking forward to the next 2, 3, 4 years, we'll be better off with Kemba than we would Dragic. If that's where their mindset is and the Hornets would do something like that, it might work. But overall, I don't think point guard is a position of need for Miami. So we can maybe come off the Kemba Walker thing a little bit, and I'm not even sure Heat fans really necessarily want to make that deal, Kemba Walker for Dragic at this point.
I think he's a nice name. I tried something in now just for, you know, craps and giggles. Kemba Walker for Dion Waiters and Justice Winslow straight up. And a lot of that would be based on Michael Jordan's potential fascination or interest with on a guy like Dion.
And then what, you'd play Dragic and Walker in the backcourt together?
Yeah. It could work, but you'd be a little undersized. Kemba is not a good defender, so you'd be missing something there.
A nightmare defensively. I don't think you. And that'd be too similar to what happened in Phoenix with Goran. I don't think he'd be up for it.
I agree 100%. Look, I mean, it's an interesting proposition. It's definitely the news of the day, knowing that a player like that of his caliber is up for grabs and could be potentially moved over the next few weeks. But at the same time, it doesn't seem very realistic that Miami would be included in anything like that. Look, I think if Miami's going to sacrifice what they built this season, which is the chemistry, the camaraderie, and the depth of this lineup, they wouldn't sacrifice it for anything other than a superstar player that they could potentially re-sign for a long period of time. That's not Kemba Walker. He's not that kind of player.
I agree 100%. All right, let's move into our next question. Marcus writes in, the Heat are built a lot like the CP3 Clippers, but with less talent. A 50-win team with no real title chance because of complete lack of chemistry. Talking about the Clippers. The Heat seems to genuinely like each other, even Hassan. Will that give them a better shot at a title, or is there a star needed? I actually kind of like that comparison from Marcus, that Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan trio in L.A., compared to, I guess, Goran Dragic, Kelly Olynyk, and Hassan Whiteside. I don't mind that comparison. It is, you know, Olynyk does, you know, he does those ball movement things that Blake Griffin is really good at. He can kind of play the four and the five simultaneously. And of course, the obvious comparisons between Whiteside and DeAndre Jordan is rim protectors.
Wouldn't James Johnson be the Blake Griffin comp?
Yeah, I guess, you know.
And Ellington and J.J. Redick role.
Yep. So, I mean, look, those CP3 Clippers were very successful. 50-plus wins every season they were together.
Very good.
I think if the Heat could get that, I think you and I would be happy. Like, if the Heat could get that sort of success that the Clippers had with that trio, I think you and I would be happy just because they'd be winning 50 games a year, and that's just a fun thing to watch. And I really think that's probably the next step for Miami before they become title contenders. But I don't think that the chemistry is going to make them title contenders here. They're not. First of all, the talent is just on every single one of those. Ellington's not as good as Redick. Dragic isn't as good as CP3. Whiteside's not as good as DeAndre. James Johnson or Olynyk, they're not as good as Blake Griffin. If you just that talent gap between every position and then the sum of those parts combined is just so much better than what Miami had, regardless of Miami having more depth right now. Maybe that kind of evens the playing field a little bit with more depth, and the chemistry certainly helps, I'm sure, but it's not enough to make them title contenders, right?
No. To me, chemistry is one of those weird things in sports. It's something that every fan looks for, and they look for it even when it's not there. You know, I don't think our longtime fans, not just of the show, but of the Heat, if they go back to 2006, I don't know that team with Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal had chemistry. What they had was Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal and a bunch of other players that were very, very good. I mean, we think of chemistry as this essential ingredient because we love to recreate it in our own personal lives outside of sports, and we love seeing it under the biggest, brightest lights, you know, but I don't know that it's necessary to function. Look, I mean, if the stories are true, and I think a lot of those are overwrought and over exaggerated as far as what was going on with those Clippers teams, they continued to win. The reason they didn't win wasn't because of their lack of chemistry. It was because they had injuries or they had problems or late game collapses and things of that sort. It wasn't because Chris Paul is a jerk, which he really is. I mean, it's quite possible that he is an absolute jerk. I mean, a lot of people might think LeBron James is a jerk, and he still was able to guide Miami to two titles and Cleveland to one. So I think chemistry is great in theory. I don't think it really necessarily defines your team's chances of success. Now, I think it might help as far as just the day-to-day, as far as your team being able to travel and go on the road and having to deal with each other. I mean, fans need to consider – the life of NBA players. I mean, everybody looks at the $18 million salaries and thinks, well, that's a great life. But the reality is you're on the road constantly. You're living from hotel to hotel. You're up at 8 a.m. to go to the gym for 2 hours to shoot around and practice, et cetera. Then you're kind of wasting time for a couple of hours in whatever foreign city you might be in. And then you have to go back to the arena later on for a game. It's hard to have that. It's a job. It really is a job. And it's a difficult one because, again, you're traveling with all these people that aren't your family or friends necessarily. You're just on this roster with 11, 12, 13 other guys, their coaches and assistants and trainers, et cetera. And it's a difficult job. So you want that kind of camaraderie so that you can share jokes, so you can go see movies together or go to dinner and stuff like that. It certainly helps. And I think, look, to the camaraderie point, to bring it back to Miami, Hassan Whiteside had his jersey retired by one of his high schools when they were traveling to they're facing the Brooklyn Nets on Friday night. And I think, you know, they went there for a local high school, and he was touched by the fact, at least that's what's being reported, that guys like Spoelstra and James Johnson and other teammates were there for the jersey retirement. That means a lot. Conversely, you look at, you know, Jonathan Isaac in Orlando. Right.
And nobody showed up for his church service.
That's right. And, yeah. You know, it speaks a lot because it helps to have that kind of friendship there. But I don't know if it necessarily means 50 wins as opposed to 45.
It doesn't replace having LeBron James. I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't replace having like good chemistry and showing up to somebody's church service isn't going to, you know, if the Magic had shown up for Jonathan Isaac's church service, maybe they are 2 or 3 wins better. You know, if they have that kind of camaraderie on that locker room, maybe there is a little bit of an improvement, but they're not all of a sudden going to be in the playoffs. They're still going to be right. A lousy team with not a lot of talent.
All right. Claudia writes in, it seems to me that Coach Spo should change up James Johnson and Kelly Olynyk. Kelly plays better when starting. James plays better when he's coming off the bench. What do you guys think? Look, this is something that Spoelstra has experimented with all season long, switching James Johnson and Kelly Olynyk at that 4 spot. I don't know if there necessarily needs to be an answer here as far as this is the starting power forward for the rest of the season. This is going to be it. Like the Celtics do, I think, they alter their front court depending on the matchup. You look at Boston right now, who's leading the East, and that's the only reason I bring them up is because they are the number one seed right now. They'll switch it out between that 3 of Al Horford, Marcus Morris, and Aaron Baines, depending on who the lineup or who the matchup is. And so Miami does the same thing. They'll usually keep Whiteside in there as the starter, but depending on what the opponent has, you know, like we saw against the Bucks, they started James Johnson. Against a bigger team, they'll start Kelly Olynyk at the 4. I'm fine with them doing that throughout the season, especially because it's been successful so far.
Yeah, I would say that the numbers actually bear out that both of them are better as reserves, to be honest with you. You know, and I think that's just on a game-to-game basis. I mean, the numbers show that James Johnson shoots significantly better as a reserve, 37% from three-point range as opposed to 23.5 as a starter. 72% from the line as opposed to 61.8 from the line. You know, Olynyk, conversely, is a 43% shooter from 3 as a reserve, only 40% as a starter. And you know, with the same number of attempts, 65 as a starter, 68 as a reserve. And so, you know, to me, they're probably both better as reserves, but maybe there's something in the floor spacing with the reserve unit where it's basically 5 guys that are much more versatile. So you have a little bit more room to shoot as opposed to the starting lineup, which has, with the exception of that, you know, six game absence for Hassan Whiteside, you know, he really hurts their floor spacing considerably. So maybe that might be an issue. It's not a 5 out lineup like it normally is for the reserve lineup. So, you know, I think you have to go with whatever you're feeling as far as on a lineup to lineup basis, a game to game basis. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, that's what Spoelstra does best is determine on a nightly basis who the best matchups are. And I think he knows when to go to the right player and the right matchup. And if, you know, either one of those guys are starting, he's, you know, very comfortable leaving them on the bench for prolonged stretches. I don't think he's going to say, oh, no, I've got to play this guy 35 minutes because he's a starter. He's shown that that's not the case at all. And as far as Johnson's concerned, you're absolutely right. His defense is too essential against certain lineups to keep on the bench. You want him going up there and being able to guard those bigger type players. A guy like Adetokounmpo, it was necessary for him to harass him and make things difficult for him, and it paid off in both cases.
We're going to select our All-Star reserves. Not the starters have been announced, and we're going to start with the Eastern Conference next. But first, if you run a company and you're unhappy with your ROI with traditional advertising online or in print,
try something new in 2018 and advertise with us here on Locked On Heat. National brands like SeatGeek, Draft, and MyBookie are already advertising on this show, but it's also a great opportunity for local South Florida businesses to connect with Heat fans. Podcast listeners are 65% more likely to engage with advertisers than from traditional media, and the number of people listening to podcasts is growing every year, as opposed to people reading newspapers and listening to radio, which is not growing every year. Be ahead of the curve and start advertising on a podcast with us. You have nothing to lose by reaching out, and our rates are reasonable, and they're based on the number of listens, so it's an efficient use of your time and money. For more information on next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com, and we could be talking about your company right here on the show. All right, let's start with the Eastern Conference All-Star Reserve. So the starters, LeBron, Giannis, Embiid, Kyrie, and DeRozan. So that was already announced. The reserves will be chosen next week. So maybe the best way to do this, David, is I kind of maybe just list off mine and you tell me where you disagree.
Oh, that's fair.
So I'll start with the list of guys who should be considered. So guys like Victor Oladipo had a real rightful claim at a starting spot. Like if you put his numbers side to side with like DeMar DeRozan, they're very similar, and you'd argue that Oladipo might be better as a two-way player because of what he provides defensively that DeRozan doesn't. But he wasn't a starter, but I think he's a shoe-in as a reserve. Like he is a lock as a reserve, I think. Al Horford, that was another battle between Horford and Embiid as a starter. So since Embiid got it, I think Horford is a lock as a reserve. And I think Kevin Love and Kristaps Porzingis are also locks. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I absolutely do. I think Oladipo probably could have been a better selection as a starter, but I just don't think he has the kind of cachet to his name that might be as alluring for some voters. And I mean, Toronto's playing great. And this is always an interesting argument for me. Like everybody's like, oh, it's got to be the record. It's got to be the record. It's like, well, the record's better in Toronto because Toronto has a better roster. The fact that Indiana is even competitive this year is almost solely because of Victor Oladipo's, you know, performance. And I think that has to be considered, but it's hard to separate who's more responsible for wins or what. But I think Oladipo's been a better player. And I think considering what he's done over the last year to transform his game and had to change from being traded out of Orlando, playing alongside Westbrook in Oklahoma City, and then to become the player that we're seeing this year, it's been remarkable. And I think he's very deserving. Horford, again, very, very good team in Boston. And here, conversely, their record has been sensational. He may be not the best individual player in comparison to Embiid, but he does more though. He does more for their team. So I saw a lot of people saying
that much of like the Chris Bosh thing for them right now. And it's like, I kind of want to go out on a limb and say, is Horford like, is he the best center in the league? Like if you just take the totality of what he does, like, I don't think he is. I think, you know, if we want to call Karl Anthony Towns a center, I think he's probably better at this point just because of the numbers he could put up, I suppose. And Anthony Davis refuses to play center, but if he did, he'd be the best center in the league and it wouldn't be close. But Embiid doesn't have to play on back-to-backs. Embiid barely, like, he doesn't have to do that. And I think Horford, on a game-to-game basis, he might be the most consistent center in the league. I mean, he was in that conversation. I think Love go ahead.
No, sorry. I just want to go in on the Embiid selection because I am so damn sick of it. I am so sick of the Philadelphia standing. I mean, it is unbelievable. Like, the guy is a fine player. Great. He is not the savior of the franchise. He's not the best thing to happen since sliced bread. I don't understand why everybody loves this guy as much as they do, but they're like attacking Al Horford and the Boston Celtics and anybody who might have a difference of opinion, and I think that's absolutely stupid. Like, if there are 76ers fans listening to the show, and I don't know why you would be, Why the hell do you love Embiid? Why do you stand for him as much as you do? Because to me, it's been one of the most ridiculous things over the last few days to see anybody even suggest, and you have to kind of like bravely put it out there on the internet and say, well, I kind of think Horford deserves a chance. And your mentions are shot if you actually tweet something like that out, because within an hour, you'll have dozens of people going, no way, Embiid's the best, Embiid's the best, he deserves it. It's like we're not insulting Embiid. He just might not necessarily be the best overall player. And his injury issues are a concern. And when it comes to selecting the All-Star game, I think it's important to take that into consideration. So anyway, that's my opinion.
Bill Simmons made an interesting point on his podcast with Zach Lowe that, you know, when you're Embiid
And you don't have to worry about playing the second night of a back-to-back or two games in 3 days or whatever it is. You could just sort of go all out in that one game that you're playing, basically. Like, and he made the comparison, like, what if LeBron only had to play 30 or 40 games in a season?
He'd score 50 points per game.
He'd score 70 points a game. Like, it would be insane. So, look, all right, we could talk about Embiid, but we don't have to anymore. You're right. Love Porzingis. We have his lock. So then the next few spots, so that's four of the seven remaining reserve spots, right? So yes. Our locks, Oladipo, Horford, Love, Porzingis. So I've got Beal, Lowry, Simmons, Wall, Kemba, Goron, and then two Pistons because people think that they need to be included, Tobias Harris and Andre Drummond, as sort of that next group. I don't think I'm forgetting anybody. And if I am, they're probably not going to actually have a chance to get in. So from that group, I've got Bradley Beal leading the Wizards in scoring, playing decent two-way play, shooting well from three-point range. Just been an impressive year for him, growing offensively. Kyle Lowry, which wasn't easy for me over guys like John Wall, Kemba, or Dragic, but I just think his stats are better. He's on the best team out of all of them. I think that matters. I can't, as good as Kemba has been this year, I just can't put somebody on the Hornets into the All-Star game. And I've already got a Wizard on there and Bradley Beal, so I feel better about having two Raptors as opposed to two Wizards. So I'm putting Lowry in there. And then the third one was really tough. I actually had Andre Drummond in there, and then at the last minute I switched it for Ben Simmons because, look, I think what the Pistons have done is nice, and I've seen a lot of things online about, well, you got to include somebody from Detroit, whether it's Tobias Harris or Andre Drummond. Why do I have to include anybody from Detroit? Because they're basically a 500 team. Good for them. Like, I don't need to include anybody from Detroit. I think Tobias Harris is nice. He's a good player. I think Andre Drummond has done a nice job. I mean, he should be in the conversation for most improved, most certainly. But I don't need to put them on my all-star team. So I'm putting Ben Simmons in there because of what he's able to do. And I don't care if he's a rookie. I think he's got a lot of points.
Not a rookie.
He's not technically a rookie, but he's going to be rookie of the year for some reason.
He doesn't deserve it.
I'm with you 100%. That needs to go away. That's a garbage thing. Like, if you play in the end, if you are injured for a full season, you just don't get to win Rookie of the Year. Sorry. That sucks, but move on. Yep. But Ben Simmons is my third guy.
It's tough. You know, I feel like, again, he's limited in what he does. He's been great, but he's also very, very limited in what he can do. And I think that should be considered. He's not a stellar defender. He's an excellent playmaker and he's a terrible shooter. Obviously it's been pretty obvious as far as what his strengths and weaknesses are. So for me, it was difficult. And again, I think Philadelphia is doing more or is doing less with more talent. And I think that should be taken into consideration. Like that falls on everybody, you know, the fact that they were getting Embiid for only a certain number of games, I understand makes things difficult for them, but that's the knock on Embiid as far as I'm concerned, why a guy like Horford might deserve consideration over him. So I was torn, actually, between who to put in there as well. I like Beal and Lowry also. I think both of them are pretty underrated. Lowry is an excellent player, a very good defender, shooter. He does a lot of different things that a lot of guys don't know. So for me, I chose John Wall, actually, because I think it was a struggle because I my heart wants to go with Goran Dragic as a deserving candidate. But, you know, and he's been Miami's most consistent player and probably their best player. And he's carried Miami to this incredible record and great showing. But again, as our listeners know, Miami's strength is based on their depth. And so you can't say he's the best of a pretty decent bunch of players that's nine deep, you know. So I don't know that necessarily warrants all-star consideration. So as much as I'd love Goran to go there and represent Miami, I went with John Wall.
I would be okay, really, between Ben Simmons, John Wall, and Goran Dragic. I'd be okay with this third spot. I wouldn't be okay if Walker, Drummond, or Harris got it. I don't think either are deserving of an all-star selection this year.
Dragic Tobias has been good.
He's fine, but he's not an all-star. Dragic is interesting because I don't want to put anybody on the Pistons on there. I'm not doing that. They're not.
You've been down in Detroit all year long.
They're not a good team. They're not a good team. Tobias Harris, like, I don't get scared when the Pistons come into town for anybody that they have. I'm not putting them on the all-star team. It's ridiculous. Goran Dragic.
Funny. I rail against Joel Embiid. You rail against the Pistons, and that's been consistent all season.
Stan Van Gundy can coach the team.
That has been consistent throughout the whole season. But Van Gundy could coach the team. How about that? Just during commercial breaks so that he can get on camera.
But he has to have it with his sleeves pulled up and his like wringing his hair like, why? Why? Like arguing for more defense in an all-star game. That's what I want Van Gundy out there for.
Goran Dragic, I think, deserves some real consideration. And the reason I'd be okay with him getting in this third spot is Miami right now is the fourth seed in the East. And really, they're just a couple games away possibly from being the third seed. Like, that's how close it is with Cleveland right now in the standings. And they're not going to have an all-star. And that's insane. I'm okay with the best player on an ensemble cast sort of just getting in there. Like, I'm okay with that. If it's up for grabs here, I mean, look, Ben Simmons, you're right. There's very obvious limitations with him, and maybe people don't want to put a technical rookie in there. I get that. John Wall, okay, he's having a fine year, but it's not having his best year by any stretch of the imagination. I'm okay with having Dragic in there. Look, if it's up for grabs, why not have the best player on the best team of those guys that we're talking about in there? I don't mind.
Changed my mind. Goran Dragic represents Miami. That's it. Sorry,
I think
John.
I changed my mind too. Goran Dragic represents Miami in the final spot. We got Dragic in here. I changed my own mind.
There you go.
Screw Ben Simmons. He can win Rookie of the Year.
Undeservedly.
Undeservedly, because it's ridiculous. Who would you give it to if we were Donovan Mitchell?
For Rookie of the Year right now, God, it's slipping my mind. Who are the other best qualified candidates?
Bam Adebayo.
Not really.
Okay. All right.
Donovan Mitchell is probably the best player. But I'm sure I'm missing somebody. Come on. Help me out here. Who are the best rookie candidates so far?
Tatum. Jason Tatum's the other guy. It would be between Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum. Really. It would be.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Quick reminder to make sure you are subscribed to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, and to leave us a review on iTunes. It helps other Heat fans discover the show. For example, like Tree Swim. TreSwm. I think somebody spelled their name wrong. Who writes, it's a ton of quality content for guys who actually watch each game, not the normal garbage and generalities. Thanks, TreSwim. Also, be sure to check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA and NFL team. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. All right, let's move on to the Western Conference starters here. Steph Curry, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Boogie Cousins. So two Pelicans in that starting unit. That's insane. Two Pelicans, two Warriors. That's been announced. Curry will be the captain, so he will select for his team. The reserves here, I think, David, it's much more difficult, I think, than the East. Because in the Eastern Conference, I think you and I, we agreed on the top six. And ultimately, we agreed on the top six, and ultimately we agreed on Dragic for that seventh spot. But we kind of went back and forth. That was tough.
Yeah.
I think with the West, man, like, I think – I think maybe one, two, three or four locks as reserves. And then it's a bunch of other guys that could be included. And I would say the locks are Russell Westbrook, right? Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Chris Paul.
Nope.
No? You would not consider because he missed
26 games.
Okay.
He only played 26 games, and he's been sensational. And look, he's helped carry the load. Wrote about Clint Capella. They went 4-3 during Harden's 7-game absence. So I understand when he's out there on the floor, they're really, really good. But he's played not a lot of games. You know, he's missed 20 games.
So Westbrook, Butler, Towns, three locks. We have to have a Timberwolf on here. We probably should have two. We should have Towns and Butler. I think they're both locks. There's no way either of those guys don't make the All-Star team, right?
I think we're starting to see a shift in that Karl Anthony Towns deserves to be an All-Star. I think, again, some of the story with him is, you know, his defense has struggled and everything else, but I think we've seen better effort there. And I'm going to be writing about this soon, but the thing with a guy like Jimmy Butler, and I got a chance to talk with him you know, a couple of days ago, was he's such a damn good player. Like, I am so upset now, having seen what he's done for Minnesota, that Miami didn't make a sweeter option, a sweeter package to try and acquire him, because he is a really damn good player. And I think he's just an incredible worker more than anything else. And that's his solution to everything. It's like, oh, are we struggling? Work through it. Are we not shooting well? Work through it. And he's tireless. I don't know how long it's going to last. I could see that body breaking down in 5 or 6 seasons pretty badly. But for now, he's going to continue to push, and he's trying to get everybody else to do things that they're not comfortable with. And that's the knock. Like the relationship between him and Wiggins in particular is so interesting, because Wiggins is this guy who was supposed to be the team's best scorer. He's like a great wing player, et cetera, but he never did anything else. And that was always the knock on him. Now he's being forced to do all those other things because he's not getting those same scoring opportunities, because guess what? Jimmy can do it. And Jimmy can do everything else too. He can pass, he can defend everybody, and he's scoring a bunch as well. So I think this is a guy, like, one, he's in Minnesota. There was a knock on him while he was in Chicago too, because we've seen his star rise so much. He reminds me a little bit of a guy like Paul Millsap, who, you know, wasn't much of a player when they first got into the league. And all of a sudden they're so good, and they wound up being very underrated. And I think that's the same thing we're going to see with Jimmy. He's a guy that should be on everybody's radar. Like, he is a legitimate MVP candidate, and nobody talks about it.
I think people are starting to talk about it. I think you're right. So he's a lock for you then, Butler.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Westbrook. So we've agreed on Westbrook and Butler as locks, and it's open for everybody else, unless you have another lock.
No, I think Towns should be in there. I think he does deserve it.
Okay. All right. So you fought me the whole Towns way, and then you ended up saying that he's a lock. Okay.
I wasn't fighting. I was just pointing out the narrative shift. Look, he's been a really good passer.
A little bit. He's been a very good defender the last 3 or 4 weeks too.
Yeah.
Towns.
Yeah.
He's gotten a lot better on that end. All right, so we've got 1, 2, 3 locks. Draymond Green is going to make it.
Deserves.
There's no way he doesn't. Yeah. So he's probably a lock too. So there's 4 locks.
I would actually say LaMarcus is a lock as well.
I would agree with you. So you and I have LaMarcus on there. He needs to be in there. And if he doesn't make it, it's going to be a tragedy. But I wrote about this for FanRag a few weeks ago. He has been – if we consider that Kawhi has barely played this year.
Yeah. That they're even in the playoff picture at all is a testament to both Popovich, the system, and LaMarcus Aldridge.
And not to mention that Kawhi hasn't played. Danny Green's missed a bunch of games. Manu's missed a bunch of games. Tony Parker's missed a bunch of games. Kyle Anderson, who plays a big role for some reason on that team, has missed a bunch of games. Rudy Gay has missed a bunch of teams. Their big free agent acquisition has been in a walking boot. This is a team that is basically LaMarcus Aldridge, Davis Bertans, and everybody else. Like, it's look, Popovich is going to be in the front runner for Coach of the Year because of this, probably.
Yeah.
But LaMarcus Aldridge deserves a ton of credit. He should be in one of the 3 All-NBA teams, and he should certainly be on the All-Star team. He has been unbelievable this season for San Antonio. So far, you and I have Westbrook, Draymond, Aldridge, Towns, Butler. That's 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, 5 locks.
5. So we've got 2 more. That's spots. Our 5 in. We've got 2 more spots, and I think it's between these guys. It's between Chris Paul George, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Klay Thompson, and Devin Booker. Would you agree with that?
I agree.
Okay. So we've got 2 out of that list. I've got Chris Paul and Paul George. I've got Chris Paul because of how he's been able to lead. He's just, it's Chris Paul. It's not an All-Star game without Chris Paul. I don't even know why I'm making the case. and then Paul George. Look, the Thunder have been kind of the butt of a lot of jokes this year. Sure. What he's doing defensively is insane. He might still be leading the league in steals. I'm not positive. He's a great defender. He's the reason that the Thunder have a decent defense, basically, between him and Steven Adams. And then, of course, Andre Roberson. And he's doing enough offensively for me to put him in there, and Paul George. And I think he's just been, for what he can do on both ends of the court, he's a little bit better to me than Dame, McCollum, and Clay.
I like the Paul George selection, and I agree with you 100% there. But again, as I said before, I don't think Paul deserves it because of his absences, and that he does have a reduced role. Whether he's been in there as long as he has, you know what? Dwayne Wade's not going to the All-Star game either, so that's okay. So for me, my last pick, CJ McCollum. I think he's actually Portland's best player at this point, and I think Dame has missed a lot of games, and McCollum is helping right the ship. I know he's got issues too. He's not a perfect player. I think he's actually the better shooter than Lillard. Lillard just takes bigger shots in waning moments of games, and so he's recognized for that. But I think McCollum is actually the better overall player.
I think McCollum is probably the better. Not better. I think McCollum is got more tricks up his sleeve. He's got more tools in his toolbox, so to speak.
Which is funny. I think a lot of people think Lillard is that guy, but I think McCollum is that guy.
I think what Lillard does well, he does better than anything McCollum does, which is take big shots in big moments and get to the rim. He is better at that than McCollum is at anything that McCollum does.
But McCollum does more things. Like, he's got a better step back jumper. He's a little bit more crafty with his dribble, I think, than Lillard is. He's like you said, I think he's a more consistent, better shooter from the perimeter. And he is a good finisher, just not as good as Dame. I'm with you. I think McCollum is probably the more well-rounded offensive player than Damian Lillard, and he's probably the better defender too.
Mm-hmm.
That could be argued. I'm okay with neither are really great defenders, and both try hard this season. They're both trying hard on that end, and you gotta give them credit. I'm okay with that. If you want to put either Dame or McCollum in over Chris Paul, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
like it'd be weird.
I know.
I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. Yeah, and like Portland's not even like really in the. They may or may not make the playoffs this year. Houston's really good. I feel like they need two guys on that team, and Chris Paul's been almost as important to that team as James Harden. So, you know,
why not Capella then? I mean, he is. A lot of people I've seen earlier on, you know, believe he's a big factor there, and he's played a lot of games. I mean,
he is a big factor, but he's not an all-star.
I'm putting it out there. I agree.
I know.
I mean, I think
you can put PJ Tucker in there too.
I'm sorry.
Like, you can put PJ Tucker on the team too.
Yeah. Look, I think a lot of Phoenix fans would say that Booker is deserving. Yeah.
Okay, Booker puts up a lot of points on a team that where nobody else scores and he doesn't play defense.
You know, I got to be honest with you.
I like Devin Booker.
I've probably seen less Phoenix this year than I should, and I haven't really measured his impact.
If you have watched 0 minutes of Phoenix this year, you have seen exactly how many Phoenix games as you should have. I don't watch Phoenix games. Are you kidding me?
And they're talking about being the big player for Kemba Walker, and it's like, oh, I'm sorry, Kemba, you're going to go there and struggle. They're going to trade like Marquise Chris, a first round pick, and what's his name, Greg Monroe, for Kemba Walker, and it's like, wow, that's enough, huh? You really think that's enough to pry Kemba Walker over there? I guess I don't know. I mean, they could certainly use a point guard to play alongside Booker, but that sounds like a terrible package to give up.
I'm glad I'm not a Phoenix Suns fan.
We played them. Yeah, we play them again later this year, right? I think.
I tweeted out a trade: Whiteside for was it Greg Monroe, Marquise Chris, and Miami's first round pick back.
Yeah,
and they were just like, "Why would we ever do that?" And I was like, "Because you can get a good player." They're like, "Well, we wouldn't want to give up Marquise Chris." I'm like, "You wouldn't want to give up a player who's been inconsistent at best, who you took in the lottery, like." Don't you have enough young players who aren't that good?
Dragon Bender's your savior there. He's like the best player to ever I play for Phoenix, I guess. I don't know.
I suppose. All right. Any other lingering All-Star thoughts? I think you and I agreed on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, we did. I think the All-Star selection is stupid, and I don't know if anybody watches it or not, but I kind of hate the whole thing.
What do you think about the captains and kind of picking up?
It's interesting. It could be interesting. I mean, I'll add my voice to the countless others that are you know, consider that they should
be televised.
Absolutely. I mean,
why the hell is this not televised? I don't understand. In a league that is made up of the whole purpose of the NBA is to get ratings and sell advertisements. That's the entire purpose of it. Why would you not put that on TV?
I don't know why they're not.
What is going on with this? It's the same thing as the draft lottery. Like, put it on TV. But why are you not?
I get the feeling he's going to cave at the last second.
Do they not want to insult the players by like who gets picked last?
That's an interesting idea, and I hadn't considered that. It would be funny to think that even at this point that somebody's going to be like, oh man, I was the last guy picked. I mean, like this is going to hurt their feelings. It's like,
right, like sorry, you're the 24th best player in the league.
Yeah. Today, it could have changed tomorrow, but I just, you know, somebody else picks somebody. And I guess that's the whole thing. And maybe that opens up too many people going, ha ha, you're the last player, you suck, etc. It's like, I don't know. Maybe that's
by the way, very interesting development here because Kyrie is an all-star starter, right?
Yes.
They have to pick the teams though, right? Like he's not starting in the East necessarily. Right. He just will be a starter.
Yes.
So if – I don't know what that means. Other than the fact that you're just in the game, like you are automatically in it.
It's the leading vote getter gets first pick, right? So it's LeBron with the first pick.
Right, so that's LeBron.
So he takes Kevin Durant.
Curry gets a second. I think he would have to, right?
Of course.
Unless he takes Harden just because he wants a ball handler. Like I could see that if LeBron is going to like actually construct a team, but he's got to take Durant. He also probably doesn't want to. It would be smart for LeBron because then you don't have to play against Durant. And you don't like risk getting outshined by him like he was in the finals a little bit.
That's a good point.
You know? or Giannis. I don't know, man. Like, but probably Durant. The other thing about this is, if you're so Curry's gonna have the second pick. If Curry's smart, he never picks Kyrie Irving because he's gonna have the last pick in the draft, and we know LeBron will not take Kyrie Irving. So that way, so if Curry's smart, he never picks Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving will be the last pick in the draft. That's my prediction automatically, even though we may never know who the winner is. But my prediction is that Kyrie Irving will be the last pick in the draft because it just makes sense. Curry can get his pick of the litter of everybody else, and then you end up with a really good off-ball guard next to you with the last pick in the draft. So they've got to televise that thing. It's ridiculous if they don't. I think you're right. I think he's going to end up.
You know what? I would rather not do it. Just because I don't want Goran Dragic to be the 24th guy picked and have to deal with it.
Deal with what?
I don't know. Being humiliated? like everybody would just use that as stupid ammunition in their complaints.
I was watching The Jump this afternoon, and Rachel Nichols was saying, and she's also being she's a big voice in the lobbying for this thing to be televised. Yes, she's saying the NHL actually gave they gave a car to the last pick.
There you go. Sweeten the deal.
So you just get Kia to sponsor the thing because they sponsor everything NBA related. And whoever gets like a Kia Soul or whatever, like Dragic drives a minivan. He'll take a Kia.
Well, I think it's a Mercedes minivan, but yes.
It is a Mercedes minivan. But it's a minivan.
It's probably a $100,000+ car. I mean, he can afford it, no doubt, but at the same time.
By the way, Kias are very nice. Ooh, in case anybody from Kia is listening.
We will gladly take sponsorship opportunities from Kia. So, I'll dunk over one even if that means I have to shatter every bone in my body in the process.
All right. We'll be back next week, but that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. You can send mailbag questions and ask about advertising by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. Catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.